more, basically. And even if they give news coverage, it is going to be very, very limited. Some of them do. If you look at some news agencies, you might see a small news story regarding Arbaeen being printed, you know, but it doesn't actually look at it in this civilizational perspective. It doesn't look at it as something that is going to transform the world. You know, it doesn't want to see it as something that is going to have a transformative power with regard to human history. You know, we should look for other means of giving, of globalizing the message of Karbala and of globalizing the message of Arbaeen.
Thank you very much, Ms. Saleh Bedia. Let's cross over to a journalist and activist, Habiba Jaghouri, who's joining us now from Qom in southern Iran. Ms. Jaghouri, welcome to the program. Give us your perspective and your thoughts about the significance of the Arbaeen March, the significance of this day itself, and also about the special message that the Battle of Karbala harbors.
Yes, alhamdulillah, I'm blessed enough to be live from the city of Qom, and right now I'm standing in the middle, at the very start of the Arbaeen walk. People walk from the shrine of Fatima Masuma all the way to Jamkaran Mosque of Imam Mahdi. And in this 40-degree weather, people have come out in huge numbers because Imam Hussein is a flag holder for justice, for purity, for freedom. And these people see that as a symbol. This walk is a symbol for going and attaining that. The people of Iran hold dear the religion very dear, hold the message of Imam Hussein very dear. This Islamic revolution has revitalized and rejuvenated every single thing that Imam Hussein has fought for when it comes to an Islamic government, when it comes to rights for people, when it comes to women's liberation from the toxic and capitalistic objectification that the West implies upon them. It's quite literally amazing that in this heat, people still find the courage, they still find the motivation to come out and walk. They have their flags, they have families come out, they have their slogans. I've got photos of the shuhada, of the martyrs that have been killed for the sake of Imam Hussein, for the sake of maintaining and upholding this Islamic system. I'm very, very blessed and very pleased to be here. And I find it so inspirational that exactly 1 year ago during this time, the entire Western media industrial complex was saying, look, this is Iran. They are an anti-religion country, these people. This is the face of Iran. This walk, this commitment to the symbol of Imam Hussein, to Imam Hussein's message, this is the face of the Islamic revolution.
Ms. Jaghouri, in many views, this is not just only a religious movement, but it can be seen as a social movement as well. How can a justice-seeking society learn from this day, in your opinion?
Absolutely, it's a social movement. Absolutely, it's a political movement, a cultural movement. I think the society can come and see how this is about unity, how here in this walk, society is essentially classless. Race and gender and even religion don't matter because Christian people participate in this walk. Ahli Sunnah, our brothers and sisters from Ahli Sunnah participate in this walk. Everyone is welcome in this walk. Because this walk is not about being a Muslim. This walk is about being a freedom fighter. It is about finding and seeking justice. If families come out and meet other families, if people are giving out food, showing hospitality, giving out water, then this is about equality. This is about happiness and justice and freedom.
And you just mentioned that people from all walks of life and different ethnic groups and creeds and religions also participate in these marches and these ceremonies. What does this say about the transcending character of Imam Hussein when we see so many ethnic groups and creeds and sects participating in these marches and the ceremonies?
Imam Hussein is universal. This is what it represents. This is what is evidence. Because Imam Hussein is not limited to one small thing. Imam Hussein belongs to everyone. Imam Hussein is Hujjatullah al-Alameen for the entire universe. Everyone can gain something from Imam Hussein. Everyone can see something and get something from Imam Hussein. Imam Hussein belongs to everyone. You can see the spirit of the people, the courage and the happiness of the people. This is the youth that the Islamic revolution has raised, that the revolution of social justice, of freedom and equality and equity has brought up.
Ms. Jaghouri, we were talking to our correspondent earlier, and she was explaining how some of the pilgrims make this difficult journey and difficult trek all the way to Karbala. Many Iranian pilgrims, they walk on foot to the city of Karbala. Other pilgrims who want to participate in the ceremonies and in the march, they land in Najaf, and then they walk from Najaf, which is an estimated four-day walk all the way to Karbala. So it's a difficult difficult journey, let alone being on foot. What is the key motivation for the pilgrims to make this difficult trip to Karbala?
Definitely it's a difficult trip. Definitely it's not easy. People from across the world fly over oceans to come to land in Najaf to walk to Karbala. It represents their commitment. It represents that the hardships is completely worth it, that the hardships at the end of the day is going to be worth the sweetness of seeing Imam Hussein's shrine, of seeing the shrine of Abba al-Fadl al-Abbas. 1,400 years ago, there was this revolution, Imam Hussein's revolution, Imam Hussein's uprising, and that is still relevant in the hearts of people today. It is still reminiscent in the struggle that people face against capitalism, against the system of Taghut, and this global arrogance, as our beloved leader, Sayyid Ali Khamenei, says.
So this battle of Karbala has been redefined over and over again in different eras of history against many Yazids from different eras. This is again another sign of how the battle of Karbala has stood the test of time, isn't it?
Absolutely, and it will continue to do so. It will continue to do so until there is universal justice, until we see the government of Imam Mahdi implemented universal-wide. This system, this revolution of Imam Hussein and Imam Hussein's uprising has a message every single day for every single human being. And it does not even always have to be political. It can be moral. It can be about your individual growth. It can be about your individual freedom. It does not even need to be on the scale of a revolution uprising, even though essentially that is what it's about. It has layers and layers and layers. And the bottom layer is self-purification. The bottom layer is fighting your own ego and perfecting yourself as a human being, attaining the highest level you can as a human being.
But let's look at this from a different vantage point. Resistance is one of the key derivatives from the Battle of Karbala. Would you agree that resistance resonates so clearly in so many oppressed nations and countries in the region today, such as Yemen, such as Palestine, such as Lebanon, and etc.?
I absolutely see it. And it is quite amazing that this resistance group, their slogans are always about Imam Hussein. These resistance groups are always about protecting sovereignty, about the dignity of the nation, of the dignity of the people, about achieving economic freedom for their country, about achieving justice for their country, about sharing their principles to the world. This is what the resistance fights for. This is what on the opposite end, what they're resisting against is a system of complete domination, of human humiliation, of objectifying and humiliating and oppressing women, of raising kids to be without principles, to be without morals, and to create a corrupt society filled with debauchery. That is their leader. But our leader is Imam Hussein. Our leader is the opposite.
Thanks, Ms. Jaguri. Let's bring in now religious activist Muhammad Rufai, who's with us from the Iraqi city of Karbala. Mr. Rufai, welcome to the program. Let's start off with getting your thoughts on the significance of the day of Arba'in, the March of Arba'in, and also the significance of the message that the Battle of Karbala carries.
Thank you very much, my brother. First of all, I'd like to thank you and also thank your viewers and also your listeners. Assalamu alaykum, ya Aba Abdullah, wa ala arwahim laki yuhallil bifanaik. عليك مني سلام الله ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا يجعل الظاهر مني مجرتكم السلام على الحسين ولا علي بن حسين ولا أولاد حسين ولا أصحاب الحسين الذين بذلوا مهجم بن عليه السلام. Yeah, as we all know, today is the 40th of Arba'in of Imam Hussein and his 72 loyal companions. So today, I wish all of us would be in the holy land of Karbala to see how millions of people are here to visit Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Yeah, I got the chance to take part of the walk from Najaf to Karbala. Yes, and I think it's 80 kilometers walk from Najaf to Karbala. First of all, the pilgrimage will go to Najaf and permitting their allegiance to Imam Ali alayhi salam. That's our first Imam, as we all know, and also show our condolence to him about what happened to his son, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, also his companion. Please, can you hear me?
And staying with you, hello? Yep, please continue.
Okay, yeah. So I had the chance to also take part of the work, and within those days, everything is free because of how people are welcoming the dua of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, because of what Imam Hussein gave, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also gave him all these millions of people. And even though, as I had some research, when the governor of Karbala was asked how many people is he expecting to come to visit Imam Hussein, and he predicted, he said that maybe about 30 million people will be coming to visit Imam Hussein alayhi salam this year of Arba'in. And this is something special, because, and also on your way coming to Karbala from Najaf, you will see different types of mawakib. And also I seen a certain mawkib which I was very surprised. That mawkib is from Thailand. So you can see where the message of Imam Hussein alayhi salam has reached. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he stood up for injustice and also oppression. So that's why his message is still what going all over the world. And also there are also people from different cities in Iraq here. They walk from those cities to come and visit Imam Hussein, like Basra. Some people use 20 days to walk from that place to reach Karbala. And also Nasiriyah and Amara too, some also use 15 days. And after that, they have to go back to their various cities because of the crowd, because the place cannot contain these millions of people. And also, there are also doctors who are giving medicine free. They will not be collecting anything. They volunteer themselves to give those medicines for those who are taking part of this work. And also a place for you to sleep, accommodation, and also giving some beverage and also drinks without paying any peswa. They are doing this thing because of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And also mawakifs from Iran, it started from the borders between Iran and also Iraq. A lot of mawakifs are also here to service the dua of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And through the working, you will see children are also taking part. The works, and also old men and also women and disabilities also too. They are all coming to show their love to Imam Hussein alayhi salam.
All right, thanks a lot, religious activist Muhammad Rufai, joining us from Karbala. We're now going to bring in religious activist and author Mr. Abul Fazl Saburi, who's joining us from Windhoek. Mr. Saburi, welcome to the program. Give us your perspective on the significance of Arba'in, the March of Arba'in, also about the Battle of Karbala itself, and what lessons, in your opinion, can be extracted from the Battle of Karbala and Imam Hussein's stance for modern-day society.
Assalamu alaikum. About Arba'in, the best word that I can say it is journey of love. I don't want to say it's recommended or it's mustahab for people to go there or for Muslims, but I want to say the people who want to know the meaning of love, the real love, they want to see the real love and the unity, they should go there. There they will see what is the meaning of love. When they see that how people, for the love of Imam Hussein, they invite them to their houses, how they feed them, how they wash their clothes. Okay, this is love. This is the love that you can find just in Arba'in. We have narrations about the time of Imam Mahdi, ajalallahu ta'ala farajah, or the time of the promised savior. At that time, there is no fear. People love each other. They don't have fear of accommodation or food. We can understand the meaning of hadith, but or of this narration. But when you go there in Arba'in, you will understand it. You will see when you enter Najaf, from Najaf to Karbala, there is no fear. You don't need You don't need anything. Okay, it's accommodation. It's just love. Okay, it's just love. One guy told me I was going for Arba'in, and one person gave me a portion of food. I was busy eating the food. Then a guy came and stood next to me. I didn't care. I continued eating, and when I finished, I wanted to go. Even that guy went. I called him and asked, what's the story? Do you need anything? He said, no, of course, I'm a poor person, and I have nothing to sacrifice for Imam al-Hussein, to do for Imam al-Hussein. So I usually come in this hot weather and stand next to people that to make shade for them, that they can sit in my shadow. Okay? This is the meaning of love. This love you can't find anywhere. Just in Karbala. This is the one of the lesson of Karbala is this, that when you do for the sake of Allah, when you do your best, when you sacrifice yourself for Allah, Allah will do his best. And look at this love. There is in Surah Saffat, I hope that I have time to explain it. It's in Surah Saffat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the story of Abraham or Ibrahim alayhi salam. That Allah told him, you should sacrifice your son. He told to his son accepted, Ya Abati fa'al ma tu'mar, this is the order of Allah, or my father, do it. And then when he wanted to do, Allah said, no, it's fine, you passed the test, qad saddaqta ru'ya, you passed the test, so it's fine, you don't do it. Then Allah said, wa fadaynahu bi dhabhin 'azim, we exchange son of Ibrahim with something else that is great, a great sacrifice. Of course, a sheep is not great compared to son of Ibrahim, Ismail or Ishaq. Then we have a hadith from Imam Reza alayhi salam that said that time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Ibrahim that now don't sacrifice your son, but there will be a sacrifice in Karbala, the son of Muhammad, Habibi Muhammad, my friend Muhammad, that his son Hussein, he will sacrifice everything in the day of Ashura, okay, in Karbala. And this is the great sacrifice, Dhabhun Azim. This is the position of Imam Hussein. And what we believe about humanity, about a good life, about religion, is love. And we see this love in Arba'in. If you want to see the love, and if you want to see unity, and if you want to experience the life of people in the time of the promised savior, in the time of Imam Mahdi, ajallahu ta'ala faraja, you should go to Arba'in and see it. This is one lesson of Karbala, that how when you do your best for the sake of Allah, how Allah answer you, that people ready to do everything for your love and ready to follow you, and to as you did, as you said, that hayhat min nadallah, I never accept humiliation. These people, they practice every year that we never accept humiliation. We do our best for the sake of Allah. We love each other. We do for peace and for justice. This is what Imam Hussein alayhi salam did.
Mr. Sabuti, the Battle of Karbala obviously has two sides to it. One side is about what Imam Hussein stood for. On the opposite side, it's what Yazid was pushing for, and his stance being a symbol of tyranny and oppression, which is also repulsed and repelled on these days. Help us understand that aspect of this event, Yazid, which is also a recurring theme throughout history.
You see, as we have in narrations or maybe a poem, that every day is Ashura and every land is Karbala. Okay, always we should choose. Okay, there are two ways, a good way, a right, and the Sirat al-Mustaqim, the right path, and the wrong one. And the thing that is important, the people who killed Imam Hussein alayhi salam, they were not non-believers. They were believers. They do it in the name of Allah. They prayed before they attack Imam Hussein. So you should be careful. You should be careful of hypocrisy. We should be careful of course, hypocrisy. Okay. Sometimes it may be difficult to know what is the right path, but always we should do our best and to choose. You see, some people they didn't support Imam Hussein, not because they didn't know him, but because of dunya, because this worldly life, because of their family. They said, if we go and support Imam Hussein, what will happen to our family? They couldn't choose. And of course, it was not easy. So always we should practice and we should ask ourselves, am I ready to do my best for religion of Allah, for Waliullah, or not? So in Ziyarah of Imam Hussein, we say, Bi'abi anta wa ummi, I am wa nafsi, I am ready to sacrifice everything for you because you are from Allah. I am, as Isa alayhi salam or Jesus said, Man ansari ila Allah, who will support me in the way of Allah? So Imam Hussein is very important because all of us, all believers, they are practicing. They want to be in the way of Allah, our Almighty God. They want to do their best for their faith. And the one that shows us how we should do it is Imam Hussein. And always we practice when we remember him, how he did, how the companions of Imam Hussein and that situation. You see, all the media that time, they were against Imam Hussein, like now, even like now. But they could decide, they could choose the right way. And the story of Imam Hussein is not just about Muslims, it's not just for Muslims, it's about humanity. He said, لِيَسْتَنْغَذَ عِبَادَكَ مِنَ الْجِهَالَةِ, I want to show to the people, to the humanity, the right path. I want to guide them. I want to help them not to be negligent. Okay, this is what Imam Hussein alayhi salam did. And always we should spread this message. First to ourselves, we should think about it, and even to others. And I repeat again, Imam Hussein is not just for Shia, but Imam Hussein is not just for Muslims. Imam Hussein is for humanity, for the people that they want to have a good life. Even if you don't believe in hereafter, if you want a good life in this world, the way is Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He did his best for justice. He did his best for peace. And look at now, as I told you, in Arba'in, you will see there is, you will understand the meaning of justice, the meaning of peace, the meaning of love, a life without fear. Okay, these are the lessons of Karbala. And I think all people, they should study about Imam Hussein. They should know the story of Imam Hussein. And we should practice. Always we should practice, and we should remember every day is Ashura and every land is Karbala.
Sure. For those of you just joining us, we are focusing on what's taking place right now in the holy Iraqi city of Karbala, but also in various cities across the world where millions of Muslims are commemorating Arba'in. That's 40 days following the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein, the third Shia Imam and the grandson of Prophet Muhammad. We are speaking to religious activist and author Abul Fas Saburi, who's with us from Windhoek. Mr. Saburi, what does this say about the transcending character of Imam Hussein when we see many ethnic groups and religions and creeds participating in these ceremonies?
You see, first of all, let me say this. Prophet Muhammad, that we believe he came for humanity. Okay? And as the Quran said, he is rahmatan lil alamin. He is the mercy for all, for the world, for all mankind. Prophet Muhammad, this person that is for all people, that is for humanity, he said, Husaynu minni wa ana min Husayn. Husayn is from me and I am from Husayn. Okay. Husayn is from Prophet is clear because Husayn is the grandson of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But what does it mean, I am from Husayn? One meaning is that the message that I wanted to spread in the world, Husayn will do it. Husayn will spread this message to the world. Message of justice. This is the message of all prophets. Justice that help with the help of people, they want to spread justice in the world. This is what we believe about the promised savior. That is that we believe at the time of Imam Mahdi, Jalal Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif, that when he will come and he will come and Isa alayhi salam will come with him, Jesus, and they will spread he will spread the world with he will fill the world with justice. So this is what Imam Hussein alayhi salam did his best and spread this message. Now in Arba'in, when you go, you see it's not about just Shia, just followers of Ahlul Bayt. You see Muslims, Sunni Muslims from different groups. You see Christians, sometimes non-believers. When they hear that about this message, when they hear that one person sacrificed everything for humanity, okay, it's not easy. Sacrifice even your baby, your children, your brothers. And then after him, when they hear that his sister, Lady Zainab, after all disasters in front of the enemy, she said, Ma ra'aytu illa jamila, I saw nothing but beauty. Okay, it's strange for them. So for them, Hussein and his family are heroes. They want to know them. They want to about to know about their lessons. So you see, they come to understand. They come for Arba'in to receive this message, to know Hussein, to see from their eyes that how people they love Hussein. Okay, and it's not easy. 100 kilometer you walk. And unfortunately, if like just 1 million people, they want to walk 1 kilometer, you will see how the media everywhere show them. Maybe 1 week they will speak about them. Now, maybe this year, more than 30 million people, about 100 kilometer, marching 100 kilometer. The media, they don't want to show it. Because unfortunately, some media are under the control of devil, Satan. Of course, Satan doesn't want love, doesn't want peace in the world, doesn't want justice. So they don't show it. But alhamdulillah, people, every day, every year, we see that more people, they come, more people, they want to see, and they try to spread the message of love, the message of peace, and especially the message of justice. That are the lessons of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his movement in the day of Ashura and in Karbala to the world.
Let's also talk about this difficult journey that the pilgrims endure to reach the holy city of Karbala. We've been talking about this with our other guests, and also our correspondent explained for us in detail what it is that the pilgrims and the mourners go through. It's a long journey by foot. Many namely Iranian pilgrims and mourners, they walk from Iran, they cross the border into Iraq and walk all the way to Karbala. Others, they land in Najaf and then they make the four-day walk to the holy city of Karbala. What is the key motivation, in your opinion, for the pilgrims to make this difficult trip to Karbala?
Okay, of course, as I said, when we look from outside, it's of course it's difficult. But if you ask them, because they do it with love. They say, no, it's not difficult for us. We enjoy it. We enjoy it, okay? Even now we are in Namibia, for example, very far. Most of Muslims here, they really miss Karbala. And the night that we had programming, we couldn't go there. You see, the people, they pray, they spend money to go there because of love. That the motivation is love. Hussein did his best for us. Hussein sacrificed everything for us, for humanity. So of course we go. It's 4 days, 5 days walking is not difficult compared to what Imam Hussein alayhi salam did. So you see the Iraqis, they sacrifice everything what they have, their money. A person, he said, I sold my car to have a mokeb, to be a host for Zawwar of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. For us, is maybe the one who doesn't know what is love is strange. Always we try to gather money to buy a car. Now you have a car and you sell it for Hussein. He said, yes, of course, because he is my love. This is what I told you. We can't understand if we don't know what is love. So the motivation that the people they go is love. There is, I can't give another word. I can't say it is recommended, it is mustahab, they go for rewards. No, it is for rewards or for thawab. No one goes in this hard situation. We have a lot of things that we can do. We can pray. No, the best answer that why these people, millions of people, they go, and how the Iraqis or others, they host them, it is love. It is love of Hussein, because Hussein did his best for them, for us, for humanity. He proved how he loves us, okay? And how he loved us as other Ahlul Bayt, especially the Hussein, because he had the chance to show it. So the people, they want to say, oh, Hussein, even we love you. We know what happened to your family after you, to your sister, how Lady Zainab went to Karbala, okay, how she suffered and how your daughter suffered. Okay, we want to go there just to show our love and to say that we know them. We know what happened to you, to your family, and we are grateful. I think this is the reason. In one word, love.
Mr. Saburi, another key word that is derived from the Battle of Karbala is resistance. Would you agree that resistance resonates so clearly in many oppressed nations today? For example, we can say Yemen, we can say Palestine, we can say Lebanon. Is this type of resistance also extracted and revisited when we're looking at the Battle of Karbala?
Of course, you know that what is the famous slogan of Imam Hussein alayhi salam in Karbala, that even non-Muslims, they know it, they say it, like Mahatma Gandhi spoke about it, like Martin Luther King, like Nelson Mandela. It was Hayat minna dhillah. I never accept humiliation. This is the meaning of resistance. They told Imam Hussein alayhi salam that just accept Yazid as the caliph and pledge allegiance to Yazid, do bay'ah with Yazid. Okay, then go and you have your masjid, you have your followers, you can teach them, you can speak about Islam in Medina, in your city. Just accept a king or a caliph like Yazid, or accept Yazid as the caliph. He said, never. I never accept humiliation. A person like me, like Hussein, as a leader, as a believer, cannot accept a person like Yazid, corrupt person like Yazid. So he said, "Hayat min nazzilah." Up to now, the Muslim, they every year, every day, we repeat this message. This is the message of resistance. "Hayat min nazzilah." We never accept humiliation. You want to occupy our country, you want to destroy our country, you want to destroy our religion, and you want us to be silent? Never. You may say, okay, don't support, for example, this oppressed people, and we give you everything. A follower of Imam Hussein cannot accept it. Say, never. Hayat min nadillah. For what? For a short life? For a short worldly life? And after some years, all of us will die, and we will go to another life, to our real life hereafter. So how? This is the message of Imam Hussein. This is the message of religion. Hayat min nadillah. I never accept humiliation. And of course, this is the meaning of resistance.
Tell us more about the life of Imam Hussein as a man, as a leader, and as a role model.
Yeah, Imam Hussein, of course, you know that Imam Hussein was, according to father, he was the son of Imam Ali alayhi salam. That Prophet said, "Ana madinatul ilm wa aliyun babuha." I am the city of knowledge, and Ali is the gate. So his father was a person like Ali. That in Quran, in Surah Ra'd, the last verse of Surah Ra'd, Allah said, وَمَنْ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ الْكِتَابِ, said, "O Prophet, tell mushrikeen that if you don't believe in me, Allah is enough. And وَمَنْ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ الْكِتَابِ, the person who has the knowledge of the book." That according to Ahadith, and according even to Quran, but we don't have time that I prove it, he was Imam Ali alayhi salam. So his father was Ali alayhi salam. His mother was Fatima al-Zahra, Sayyid Nisa al-Alameen. The master of women, all women, and the lady of heaven, of course, as Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. So of course, when you are in this family, you will be a great person. And his grandfather was Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hussein, from the beginning, he was a leader, and especially after his father. And the time of his brother, he just followed his brother Imam Hassan alayhi salam, because he was the imam. So even Imam Hassan, they forced Imam Hassan alayhi salam to make peace with Muawiyah. So after him, he continued Imam Hussein this agreement. He didn't do anything about that agreement. But when Muawiyah changed the agreement and he chose his son Yazid, a corrupt person like Yazid, as the leader, it was the time that Imam Hussein said, "No, I don't accept him." And before that, Imam Hussein in Medina, he was busy teaching people about Islam, about religion. And we have a lot of narrations about him. But the most important thing that most of the people just they know it is about what happened in Ashura. Is usually we speak about the last day of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, or the last days of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, that it was in Karbala. But even before that, Imam Hussein, he was busy every day to teach people about Islam, to teach people about what is their duty. And we have thousands of hadiths, fortunately, from Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and that they published. Now we have the books. So this is Imam Hussein, of course. If in a short time, we can't speak about him. But the important thing that we should do as a human, if we want to be a wise person, we should read about them. We should know them. Okay, these people, they are not about just for Muslims. They are not for Muslims. Okay, they are more than religion. They are for humanity. They are heroes, as I told you. So we should know them. Now there is internet, there are a lot of books we can study about them. Imam Hussein is not just for Ashura, and it's not just for Arba'in. Imam Hussein and his family and Ahlul Bayt, they are for daily life, for every moment of our, we need them for in every moment of our life. This is what I think what we should do, study about them, think about their method, their lifestyle, and try to follow them. If we want to have a good life, a peaceful life, okay? And of course, to be successful in our life and in hereafter.
Thanks a lot. Religious activist and author Abul Faz Saburi joining us from Windhoek. For those of you who are just joining our programming now, the city of Karbala in Iraq is hosting millions of Muslims from across the world who are commemorating Arba'in. Arba'in, which means 40th in Arabic, marks the 40th day after the anniversary of the martyrdom of Imam Hussein, the third Shia Imam and grandson of Prophet Muhammad. Millions of Muslim pilgrims, including Iranians, have marched for days to join the mourning ceremonies. Muslims believe it's significant to keep alive the movement of Karbala, which is a movement against terrorism, fascism, and despotism. Joining us now from the British capital, London, we have Islamic scholar Sayyid Muhammad Razavi, sir, welcome to the program. How do you view the importance and the significance of the Day of Arba'in, and also the importance of the message that the Battle of Karbala has?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. First of all, I would like to give my condolences to all Muslims of the world, and especially the oppressed people of the world, and the most importantly to the Imam of our age, Imam Mahdi ajjalallahu ta'ala farajhu, who is the leader of the oppressed people of the world, and we are waiting for his appearance as soon as possible so the peace and justice can be established all over the world. Certainly this Arba'een Arba'een literally means the 40th day after the sad demise of someone. So we commemorate Arba'een to remember the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam and his companions and close family members who did not give their hands in allegiance to the corrupt rulers of the time and taught us how to stand firm in front of oppressions and aggressions in the world. And this is the reason why this 40th has survived compared to any other 40th of any other person in the world. Since Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam was martyred in Karbala, the remaining family members of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam were taken in a form of a looted caravan to Sham. During those days, Sham was the name of the entire country. Today, Sham is a city in the country called Syria. So they were taken to Syria, or the city of Sham, where the corrupt rulers were ruling, and they were presented as prisoners in front of them, and Bibi Zainab Salatullah Alayha defended the rights of his beloved brother, who was divinely appointed as successor of Prophet Muhammad after Imam Hassan alayhi salatu wasalam. And they were kept in the prison, and then they were released. There is a dispute when they were exactly released, but there is certainly no disagreement that they managed to reach the grave site, the burial site of Imam Hussein and the Shuhada of Karbala, and they were the ones who started this Arba'een. And today, when we walk towards Karbala, is a kind of symbolic walk to show our loyalty to Ahl Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam and what they did, and especially what Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam did for the sake of the oppressed people of the world and against the corrupt rulers of the time, and he established a principle that if you want to be a hur or azade, as we call in Farsi, if you want to be a liberated person, you should never give in to corruption and corrupt rulers of the time and stand firm. So this is the great lesson that Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam taught to all of us. And this is the reason of the survival of this 40th compared to any other 40th in the history. We all know that, and especially in Shia Muslim world, if anybody dies, one of the important remembrance days that we commemorate is in some cultures, immediately the day the person is buried, then the third day, then seventh day, and then the most important day before anniversary is 40th. And 40th is usually commemorated in the first year of the death or martyrdom of the person who has been martyred or killed or demised from this world. But Imam Hussein is the unique personality that his 40th has been commemorated continuously since his martyrdom over 1,400 years ago. And why we do this, first of all, it is a sunnah and tradition that was established by Ahlul Bayt themselves, the family of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and holy imams, the divinely appointed imams, practice literally this. And one of the first person who did this walk and journey towards the grave of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam was a holy imam, Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salatu wasalam, and he was accompanied by Bibi Zainab salawatullah alayha, and also some of the companions like Jabir ibn Abdullah and Ansari and others. So this sunnah, this tradition was established by them, and then it continued in later years in different form and different personalities, or the leaders of the time and leaders of the imams like Imam Muhammad Baqir, Imam Jafar Sadiq, Imam Musa Kadhim, Imam Muhammad Taqi, Imam Rida. Imam Rida especially has a very important role, and that is why Imam Rida alayhi salatu wasalam, when the Shia Muslims in some parts of the world, when they finish the daily prayers, they do ziyara. Ziyara means salutation, salams to the divine personalities, and the ziyara starts from Prophet Muhammad and Fatima Zahra, in some cases Khadija al-Kubra, and true companions of Prophet Muhammad who were martyred at the beginning of Islam. And then it goes on to Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba. So usually what happens, they do this ziyara and quickly jump to Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam, and there is a reason, because of his great sacrifice. And from Imam Hussein they jump usually to Imam Rida alayhi salatu wasalam, and there is a reason for that as well, because Imam Rida alayhi salatu wasalam promoted physically. Other imams were in difficult times. Sometimes they used to just quote narrations and importance, and give importance to the ziyarah of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam, and encourage the Shias to go for this pilgrimage, this ziyarah. But Imam Rida alayhi salatu wasalam has been reported as saying and giving importance to this more than any other imam. Probably because Imam Rida is the only imam who was gharib. Gharib means away from the entire family of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam. We all know that from Prophet Muhammad to all other imams are buried in either Saudi Arabia, present Saudi Arabia, or Arabian Peninsula, and Iraq. And the only imam which is away from these imams is Imam Rida alayhi salatu wasalam. And that is one of the reasons that Imam Rida gave a great emphasis on ziyarat of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam, especially during the period of Arba'een, or 40th day of Imam Hussein. And alhamdulillah, we are noticing that this movement has grown due to its sacredness, and it has grown to become the biggest religious gathering, or I could say even biggest gathering of the humanity on earth. Where else you can find 27 million people gathering together, commemorating the martyrdom of a person who passed away or left this materialistic world over 1,400 years ago.
And Mr. Razavi, what message does the lesson of Kabbalah send to oppressed nations today?
Yeah, the biggest message that Imam Hussein himself, before his sacrifice, gave was that misli ma yubayi' mithlak. It's an Arabic word, and in Arabic what he said to the oppressive leaders of the time, that a person like me would never give his hands in allegiance to a corrupt ruler like you. So this is a message for all the oppressed nations of the world, whether they are Muslim. And that is one of the reasons, the message that Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam gave was against oppression, against corruption, against misjudgment and injustices that were carried on by the oppressive and corrupt rulers of the time. So that's why Imam Hussein's message is universal, and that is why all the nations of the world, you go around the world, you go, for example, in India, there are Hindus who have been commemorating the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam while they are still Hindus, or Sikhs, or there are many other Christians who, even this year, I have seen clips that Christians from all over the world attended the procession of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam, Arba'in procession of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam in Iraq, and they went to Karbala, and some of them were taking part in the procession, and others have been taking part in the procession by contributing facilities for the pilgrims. Like one of the needs, when 27 million people visit a country, they need services. If you look at Hajj, only 2 or 3 million people go, and Saudi authorities cannot manage all of them. And here, the entire event is literally organized and taken care of by people, people who are there to serve the pilgrims. And amongst those people, there are non-Muslims, and there are many Christians who have been doing this, not from today, not from 30 years, since time that we can't remember, they have been providing services for the pilgrims of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And I would like to also mention that this procession and walk towards Karbala has gone through many phases in the life, especially in the period of Saddam Hussein, the corrupt leader. He banned actually the walk towards Karbala, and people were not allowed to, and as soon as Saddam Hussein was overthrown, this sunnah, this tradition was re-established, and it has continuously grown. I'm still waiting for the news how many people would be going through Karbala today. According to the news and reports, it will be around 27, maybe even more, million people who would be visiting Karbala and paying their respects to Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam.
Well, the Battle of Karbala has been redefined over and over again in different eras of history, and against many Yazids from different eras. This is again another sign of how the Battle of Karbala has stood the test of time, isn't it?
Yes, of course. I mean, especially Iranian nation, Iraqi nation, Lebanese nation, and there are many others who around the world have took lessons from the tragedy of Karbala and resisted. Even there are famous leaders who have been quoted as taking lessons from the tragedy of Karbala, like Nelson Mandela. While he was in prison, and when he was released, he was interviewed, and he said Imam Hussein inspired him to continue his battle against the oppression, and he finally was successful and was released and respectfully buried in South Africa. And he is remembered as one of the great African leaders around the world. So he was inspired by Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam.
Another thing we've been discussing, Mr. Razavi, with all our guests is the hardship, and I won't say hardship, but the difficulty of this long journey that the mourners and pilgrims are enduring to get to Karbala on this day of Arba'in. Many make that trip on foot, some from Iran, walk all the way. Others land in Najaf, and then they walk for around 4 days to get to Karbala. What is the key motivation for the pilgrims to make this difficult trip to Karbala? And also, in addition to that, if you can, tell us a little bit about the rituals and the ceremonies that we see the mourners performing during these times.
Yes, I mean, the main, there's no doubt that this journey is not easy. And initially, the journey that was established by ulama and great scholars, there is a route actually from Najaf to Karbala, because the ulama and scholars used to study in Najaf, and Najaf has been the hub of Shia Islamic seminary in the world, one of the greatest hubs and places where the Shia Muslim scholars were educated for many years until the corrupt rulers took over the Iraq, and then, of course, when Saddam was overthrown, that Najaf has gained its importance again. But then the Hawza Ilmiya of Qom was established. So the people who, ulama and scholars who lived in Najaf, including my father, he was there in Najaf before Islamic Revolution, around several years he studied there. He used to say that it was extremely difficult during those days to, they used to start their journey from Furat, Nahr-e-Furat, and walk for almost 3 and sometimes more than 3 days through desert and hardships and difficulties. They had to carry whatever they needed. And during those circumstances, people did not leave this sunnah and tradition of going to. And the idea was to respect someone who stood against oppressors. So my father went several times before Islamic Revolution. Then Islamic Revolution took place in Iran, and there were problems and war, and there were restrictions. And then, after toppling of Saddam Hussein, re-established, this route was re-established. And now, as I have heard and seen on the clips, they have developed a lot. Although there are lots of facilities, but all those who go and come back, they show that it is not an easy task. It is a difficult journey, and that is why it is necessary for the people, local people, to look after and take care of the pilgrims of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. During those days when it was difficult, it was extremely difficult. There was a period of time that the corrupt rulers of the time hated people going and respecting Imam Hussein, even after his martyrdom. So they used to put restrictions, they used to even cut hands and feet of the people who were traveling. They used to arrest them, they used to torture them. I personally know my friends who went and were captured by Saddam Hussein and hanged and killed just because they managed to go through and go for the ziyarat, and they were discovered. Although they were foreigners, they were not Iraqis, but they didn't care. They just killed them and executed them. So people have gone through great difficulties and kept this sunnah and tradition alive. And I hope the world has realized that the masses who sincerely attend this commemoration and procession in remembrance of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam cannot be stopped, and inshallah we hope that and these are the signs that give us hope that inshallah Imam Zamana, Imam Mahdi ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu, will have supporters, and this procession will inshallah be led by Imam Mahdi ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu, inshallah. Although we, as a Shia Muslims, do believe that Imam Mahdi takes part in this procession, and Imam Mahdi takes part in Hajj every year as a holy and divine leader. So one of the few and rare places where we can guarantee the presence of Imam Mahdi is procession to Karbala and Hajj every year. So those people who go there, some of them even go with this intention to be in a crowd that they are sure that they will be accompanied by Imam Mahdi ajallallahu ta'ala farajhu. And may Allah count us amongst those who will be the true supporters of Imam Mahdi when he is given permission to declare himself to the world.
He stays relevant today because he stood for justice. And as long as injustice stands, his message and his sacrifice will also be alive as well. Would you agree with that? Now, someone that we spoke to in the past here on Press TV regarding the same issue said that Imam Hussein was the ultimate freedom seeker, and he phrased it very brilliantly that Imam Hussein's message is so cosmically alive. Do you see it in that light as well?
Yes, of course. I mean, as I said, that Imam Hussein, as an imam, an infallible imam, knew that the stand he is making is not just for Shia Muslims. The stand he was making was against the oppressive rulers, because a divine imam, if he doesn't care about the entire population of the world, he is not a divine imam. An imam is an extremely important position. He has to be the imam and leader of every single person on this planet and universe. He can only be an imam if he considers and takes care of the interests of every single oppressed person in the world. And that is why others, as I mentioned, are not... others, those who are not Muslim, are proud to remember Imam Hussein alayhi salatu. I remember once I went to the city of Perth in Australia for lectures in Muharram, and on the day of Ashura, there were some Hindu Sikhs, there were some Sikhs who came to the majlis, and I said, why they are here? They said they respect Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam, and they come on the day of Ashura to pay respect by placing a new cloth of sheet on the minbar of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam, so they can get some reward and be counted amongst the supporters of Imam Hussein and his mission. And I spoke to them, they said, yes, the reason why they love Imam Hussein is he raised his voice against oppressors, and that inspires them to remain resistant, to show resistance in their struggle that they themselves are going through in their life and in their part of the world. So Imam Hussein is a source of inspiration for all, and that is why all nations of the world... There's a famous poem in Persian and Urdu as well, which say that there will be one day that all nations of the world will claim that Hussein belongs to them. And the whole reason why everybody wants to claim Hussein belongs to them is that Hussein's philosophy, Hussein's stand against oppression goes against all kind of oppressions around the world. So anyone who is oppressed and has a feeling against the oppressors of the world will side by Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam and claim Hussein to be one of them.
And Mr. Razavi, another one of the key lessons and key messages derived from Karbala is resistance itself. Would you agree that resistance that has been extracted from the Battle of Karbala, it resonates so clearly in many of the countries of the region, many oppressed nations today, such as Yemen, such as Palestine, such as Lebanon. Yeah.
Yes, and of course, I mean, and that is what annoys the oppressors of the world. That is why they do not find any kind of threat who by the Muslims who do not follow Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam or do not respect, they only feel threatened by the Muslims who believe in Imam Hussein, who support him, Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam, because they know that Imam Hussein does not recognize borders. Imam Hussein inspires everyone who is suffering and oppressed by the oppressors. So, of course, the oppressed people of the world will join and consider Imam as the symbol of resistance. And as I mentioned earlier, Nelson Mandela himself said that the only way he could continue his resistance was by remembering the stand of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam, that he did not give in. He continued to resist, and the same example is now being followed by, as you mentioned, many nations of the world, from Myanmar, Kashmir, Lebanon, and Yemen, and Palestine, and all over the world, wherever the oppression is being committed against the oppressed people of the world. So the resistance is, even now today, there are many Sikhs, Hindus, who consider Imam Hussein as their own leader. They remember Imam Hussein, they take part in the processions. I was told there are some who have, even this year, visited the Holy Shrine of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam, to pay homage to Imam Hussein, to show respect to Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam, for inspiring them, for teaching them how to resist and how to continue and how not to give in to the oppressive rulers of the time.
All right, thanks a lot, Islamic scholar Sayyid Mohammad Razavi, joining us from the British capital, London. The city of Kabul in Iraq is hosting millions of Muslims from across the world who are commemorating Arba'een. That's the 40th day after the